When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
U.S. stocks slide and investors resume their flight to government bonds. Meanwhile, the banking crisis spreads to Europe and Swiss regulators intervene to provide liquidity to Credit Suisse.
When people start to get worried, they pop up in all sorts of different places, and it kind of doesn't matter if it's a bank in California that goes under, it could, you know, pop up in Switzerland, the contagion worry.
Plus, how the crisis in the financial sector is playing out on Capitol Hill. It's Wednesday, March 15th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Swiss regulators said they would provide liquidity to Credit Suisse, offering a lifeline to the lender hit hard by concerns over its financial health. Shares of the bank, which is Switzerland's second largest, plummeted 24% today, in the largest one-day decline on record as investors seem increasingly concerned about the health of the global financial system after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. So what's happening in Europe? Joining me now with the latest is our Europe finance editor, Alex Frangos. So, Alex, how did this crisis, which started in some regional banks in the U.S., cross the Atlantic?
Well, basically, the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank got a lot of people concerned more broadly about weaknesses in the financial system, and they started scouring around looking for the weakest links. And it's not really a surprise that they were attracted to look at Credit Suisse, which is a big bank with a big presence in the U.S. and all around the world. And it's had a lot of troubles over the last couple of years. It suffered scandals, big trading losses with one of its clients, Archegos Capital, that blew a $5 billion hole in its balance sheet. It raised fresh capital from investors late last year, which was supposed to stabilize the situation, but it didn't. And its customers, who are a lot of very rich, you know, high net worth people, as they like to call them, started pulling their money out of the bank. And it was, it's been a kind of a steady drip out of the bank. And that's got people worried that, you know, as money pulls out of the bank, it's harder to maintain its business.
What about other European banks? Is this spreading now more broadly?
Well, I mean, today you had, you know, clear reaction in markets where, you know, stock prices of other big European banks like BNP Paribas, Societe Generale, Deutsche Bank, you know, all fell pretty sharply. And that's because banks do a lot of business with each other. And if one bank has trouble, it can often spill into other banks. And you get this, kind of contagion effect. And what we learned in the 2008 crisis is, you know, you don't really know where the linkages are. And when people start to get worried, they pop up in all sorts of different places. And it kind of doesn't matter if it's a bank in California that goes under, it could, you know, pop up in Switzerland, the contagion worry.
That was Europe finance editor Alex Frangos. Meanwhile, U.S. stocks closed mostly lower, with the Dow and the S&P 500 ending the day in the red. Regional bank stocks fell again as investors resumed their flight to government bonds, pushing down yields sharply. Markets reporter Matt Grossman.
So there was a big flight to safety, which really reflects that investors are pretty nervous about what could lie ahead. Treasury yields came down. Yields fall when bond prices rise, so that means there was a lot of buying in the Treasury market, which is often considered a safe haven when things get really turbulent. And by contrast, stocks were down quite a bit. Investors were selling shares pretty much across the board, which is something that you often see when people are in the mood to really stay away from anything risky. Investors are still trying to figure out what to make of the bank sector in the U.S. Their fears were ignited last week by the Silicon Valley situation and then the failure of Signature Bank. Yesterday was a day without a whole lot of negative headlines, so the sentiment improved a little bit. But now with headlines overnight last night about potential issues at Credit Suisse, which have come on the radar, kind of reignited concerns about banks on this side of the Atlantic as well.
As you might imagine, the takeover of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank by federal regulators is getting a lot of attention on Capitol Hill this week. Republican and Democratic lawmakers largely agree that bank regulators were right to step in over the weekend to prevent the bank's failure from becoming a contagion. At the same time, they also think bank managers and auditors have a lot of questions to answer. But as you might expect, there's plenty of disagreement on other fronts. Our D.C. reporter, Daniela Cheslow, has been talking to lawmakers, and she joins me now to talk about what they're saying. Daniela, let's get right into it. One of the big questions this week has been essentially whether this is a bank bailout. And I'm sure you've heard a lot from lawmakers on Capitol Hill about that.
Hi, Anne-Marie. Yes, that question is top of mind for lawmakers, whether it was a bailout and whether it was necessary. Democrats say the Biden administration was right to step in and backstop deposits at Silicon Valley Bank and Signature, even when they weren't insured. Here's Senator Jeanne Shaheen of New Hampshire.
I think the administration, the FDIC, and Treasury have done a good job of reducing contagion and keeping it from spreading.
Some Republicans agree that this was necessary, but some were wary. Here's North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis. He's a member of the Senate Banking Committee.
And I think that's a dangerous precedent. It basically sends a message to anyone else that's on the bubble, don't worry, big government will come in and fix the problem, ultimately at the expense of the taxpayers.
Tillis says voters resented the government bailing out banks during the 2008 crisis and that effectively lawmakers are doing the same thing now. Now, we've been reporting on the differences between then and now. Biden says this isn't a bailout because stock and bondholders in the banks are not protected. But uninsured depositors will be getting a major benefit. And the FDIC has said it will pay for this with a special assessment on banks. And that cost could be passed on to customers.
So have we seen any legislative proposals yet?
Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts and Congresswoman Katie Porter of California, both Democrats, have introduced a bill to tighten regulations around banks in the U.S. It's called the Secure Viable Banking Act. That's an interesting acronym, SVB. It would restore the terms of regulation known as Dodd-Frank that imposed strict stress tests and other rules on banks with assets of $50 billion or more, and that was after the 2008 crisis. About 5 years ago, Anne-Marie, Congress increased that threshold up to $250 billion, and both Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank were under that older, higher threshold. Here's what Senator Warren of Massachusetts told me.
We've seen what happens when you weaken regulations. It's time for all of us, Democrats and Republicans, to roll back that hole that was knocked into Dodd-Frank.
Daniela, is this something that could reasonably pass Congress?
Well, in the text that Warren shared on her website, 17 senators, including Bernie Sanders of Vermont and John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, signed on, and so did 30 Democratic House members. But remember, Democrats have narrow control of the Senate and Republicans control the House. And even among Democrats, there are some who are not sure. Tim Kaine said businesses in his state, Virginia, wanted him to vote to, quote, right-size Dodd-Frank. And here's what he said about Warren's bill.
Some have asserted, oh, well, that was the 2018 bill that 5 years later led to this. I'm a little bit wary of that.
Kaine said he wanted to see whether regulators missed warning signs and establish whether banks failed because they were too invested in tech, or if the run was amplified by social media and if that might require a different kind of fix. One of the peculiar features of Silicon Valley Bank's run is that many investors were connected. They were talking on social media. And I heard similar hesitation from Republicans. Susan Collins of Maine said she helped write Dodd-Frank, but it was too heavy a burden for small community banks and credit unions, and so she had supported amending it. Now she didn't have a clear change in mind.
We should always be willing to take a look at whether legislative changes are needed, but right now, I think our focus should be on what did the regulators know.
And there's also a strong Republican focus on what they say is the cause of inflation, President Biden's decision to spend on COVID relief. They say this caused the Fed to raise rates. And remember, Silicon Valley Bank ran into trouble because it had long-term investments on bonds with low rates, and those lost value as the Fed cranked up the interest rates. Democrats say the claim that Biden is responsible for inflation holds little water when inflation has been up worldwide.
So it's been an eventful week so far. What can we expect in the next couple of days going forward?
Tomorrow, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will speak to the Senate Finance Committee, and we can expect her to face questions about government spending and regulation. Senate Banking Committee Chair Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio, says he hopes to tighten up laws around capital standards, liquidity, and stress tests, and he thinks all Democrats realize stronger rules are needed.
I think they all realize that that we need stronger rules. I think I can't speak for them, but I don't know. I think all the Democrats realize we need stronger rules.
We have heard some other ideas as well. Mitt Romney, Republican of Utah, said it might be time to raise the threshold for federal insurance of bank deposits. It is at $250,000 now.
The idea that there are uninsured deposits doesn't make a lot of sense. I think we ought to have our deposits insured, and if we need to charge people with large deposits a fee for having them insured, then we charge the fee.
GOP Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri says there should be a separation between investment and commercial banks. And besides changes to banking law, we can also expect to see lawmakers questioning people in the banks. California Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff says he's working on a bill to claw back bonuses from executives at the banks the FDIC seized. And Anne-Marie, remember, he is vying for the same Senate seat as his fellow California Democrat, Katie Porter.
Wall Street Journal's D.C. audio reporter, Daniela Cheslow, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Coming up, we'll get to some other top news headlines after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Now on to some other top news headlines. More economic data out today shows the U.S. economy may be cooling after a hotter start to the year. The Commerce Department said retail sales fell by a seasonally adjusted 0.4% last month. U.S. consumers spent less at restaurants, auto dealerships, and department stores, and more on essentials at grocery stores and pharmacies. Separately, the Labor Department said the Producer Price Index, a reflection of supply conditions, fell a tenth of a percent in February. The data hints that the economy may be cooling off as the Federal Reserve raises interest rates to tame inflation. In Texas, a federal judge heard arguments today on a key abortion access case. Anti-abortion medical groups and individual doctors are suing the Food and Drug Administration, arguing that the agency overstepped its authority by approving the sale of mifepristone, a medication used in more than half of abortions in the U.S. Our national legal affairs reporter, Laura Cusisto, is following the case.
Part of what's interesting about this case is that really where that drug is primarily being used now, where it's being administered, where it's being prescribed, is not in the sort of deep red states that we've already seen ban abortion, but of course in bluer states where abortion is legal. And so this would have wide-ranging ramifications, not even really so much in a state like Texas, but in places like California and New York, where potentially that drug could become unavailable even in states where abortion is legal.
And global competition over chip making is heating up. South Korea, the industry leader, is going even bigger, announcing plans to create the world's largest semiconductor base by 2042. And it secured a $228 billion investment from Samsung, which will build five plants. The announcement comes as the U.S. is ramping up its chip-making capacity, offering $53 billion in manufacturing and a tax credit program to incentivize domestic production. And finally, what job hunter would say no to a little boost? Some applicants are turning to ChatGPT. That's the text-generating piece of artificial intelligence you may have heard about. They're getting help with cover letters, resumes, even answers to skill tests or interview questions. Our internet culture reporter, Anne-Marie Alcantara, says it's now up to employers to figure out how to hire responsibly because the tool is so readily available.
Employers are making a big deal over this because I think they're sort of wondering how to deal with it themselves. So while, like, yes, the employer themselves might use AI or something else to, like, screen an applicant, they want to make sure that all applicants are still being evaluated the same way. You know, even if one candidate uses ChatGPT or another AI tool to help themselves, you know, another candidate might not. And so I think that's sort of the things that they're grappling with right now, that they're figuring out, okay, how do we just make this process fair again to everyone who just wants this job and is applying in whatever way they're applying, either with the help of AI or not.
And in other generative AI news, China's biggest search engine operator, Baidu, plans to launch tomorrow ErnieBot, its ChatGPT equivalent. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon, brought to you without any help from AI. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.